Before we get started on the Earfluence podcast, for those of you in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, we'd like to tell you about the Miracle Moments Luncheon to benefit Easter Seals UCP Port Health. Earfluence, which produces this podcast, is a proud sponsor, and we'd like you to join us May 1st, 2024 at 11:30 Eastern Time at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary. This event helps raise funds and awareness for the life-changing direct services provided to more than 40,000 children, adults, and families living with disabilities, mental health, and substance challenges so they can live their best lives. We'll put more information on Easter Seals and the luncheon in the show notes, but again, that's Wednesday, May 1st at 11:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary, and we hope to see you there. Welcome to the Earfluence Podcast, which is a podcast about podcasting from a podcast production company. I'm your host, Jason Gillikin, CEO of Earfluence. Today, we're going to talk about how to cultivate an innovative mindset and support innovation culture. With podcasting, I feel like there's a lot of sameness out there, so coming up with something different is a topic I really want to dive into. You know, one of my favorite things about podcasting is that I get to ask interesting people to come on the show, and most of the time, they say yes. So when I ran into Sarah Glova the other day, I said, let's find an excuse to bring you on the show. Pick a topic, any topic, we'll make it work. And she said, let's go. So let me tell you why she's awesome. She's a founder of Reify Media. She's a keynote speaker. She leads workshops on entrepreneurship, leadership, and public speaking. And she's one of those people who always has a big smile on her face. Dr. Sarah Glova, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Well, that put a smile on my face. That was nice. I just need to, I'm going to replay that every morning. That's going to be my new alarm clock sound.
Yes.
Just you reading my bio. That was nice.
That would be very scary. Jeez. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I'm really excited to talk to you about innovation and how, what that means in podcasting.
I love it. Let's dive in.
I want to give you some space later on to tell us about Reify and all the public speaking training you're doing. But yeah, innovation. Let's start there. What was the problem you were seeing that led you to work on your innovation presentation?
That's such a good question. So, you know, I'll start it by asking a question back to you. So when you hear that word innovation, it's one of my favorite words. Innovate. Yeah. I mean, it's just a cool word, innovation. If you didn't know what it meant, you could almost like hear it as somebody's name. It's that pretty of a word. But when you hear it these days, I don't think you get the same buzz that we used to, right? Hmm. Like when you hear innovation, do you get that jolt? Do you still feel like, you know, the first time you watched the Iron Man movie or the first time you opened an Apple product and opened that box? I mean, that's to me what innovation used to feel like.
Right.
Now it's starting to feel like one of those corporate buzzy words.
Yeah, you know? You're right.
It's a little bit like a synergy now. And I think that's sad because I think innovation is one of the coolest things about being a human. This idea that we can create new things, collaborate to make amazing things happen. To me, that's innovation. And I think it's getting lost. It's becoming this word for we got to come up with something new, but we're not sure what. So let's call it innovation.
Yeah.
So as I noticed that and I started—
Well, don't you think it means just coming up with something new?
You know, I don't think so, but let's see if I can convince you on this podcast. So I started working with some companies that were talking to me about some talks for 2022. People are getting back out there. We're starting to do more in-person stuff and they want to bring me on stage and get their teams excited to innovate. But then when I would ask them, like, yes, of course, we can talk about innovation. What about innovation do you want to talk about? And they're like, well— You know, like the innovation stuff. Can you picture this? I mean, it's just one of those words. And so what I started doing was talking to these folks about what they wanted to see, what it would look like if their teams were innovating, what it would look like if they had innovation culture. And what I found was oftentimes it wasn't necessarily about creating something brand new. It was more about thinking outside the box. It was more about finding interesting ways to collaborate. It was more about reframing problems or challenges in a way that, you know, people hadn't done before. People hadn't had that approach before. So it wasn't just about new. And I also found, and I think this is really important, it wasn't just tech. It wasn't just startups. It wasn't just, you know, the kid who quits Harvard to do the startup out of the, and then becomes a unicorn. I mean, I think that is where a lot of this word innovation got lost. And so as we started talking about that, something I figured out with these companies is they were like, yes, this is where we want to go. That kind of innovation. How do we get there? And so the talks that I've been creating lately are, they're like blueprints. They're yeah. like how-to guides for, you know, what does this look like day to day?
Okay, so that's really powerful because we get trapped in the doing part mm-hmm. of our businesses just so much. And, you know, one of my mentors was telling me, like, you're probably doing like 75% of the time in your business mm-hmm. and you're not growing your yeah. business and you're probably spending 25% of the time. And he nailed it. Like he was dead on. But what that means is there's just no time to be creative.
Right.
Like there's no time to do anything that is outside of the box.
Right.
So what started happening when you were going to these businesses and saying and giving these presentations about, yeah. you know, going outside the box? Like what can they do?
That was such a great point. And that's definitely one of the things that we talked about. Where does this fit in day to day? These companies might talk about how they want an innovative culture. They want innovation to be a part of their culture. But where do they make space for that? And I think especially as we're all coming out of, you know, the beginning of 2022, still experiencing kind of the Zoom hangover, right? And just trying to balance everything. Yeah, where do we make time for this kind of innovation? So we talk about that. When I say blueprint, I mean, what does this look like day to day? What are some instructions? And so we talked about things like, where can meetings be shorter? How can people have more batch time for something more creative? And I've been working with some really interesting companies. Some of them have Flex Fridays where people can take on innovative projects that are outside of their scope of work, and things like that are really cool. But what we talk about even more is like the daily, day-to-day, like getting even a little bit more micro. So think about it this way. It's great if you can look at a week and carve out some time to be creative. But what about in the meetings that you're in? What about the doing time? So your mentor who was like, you know, this much time is doing, this much time is you know, not doing creative things.
Right.
What about in that doing space? What about being more innovative in those meetings? I don't think it's something that's so black and white that we have to, you know, it's like, okay, innovation light switch on, innovation light switch off. In a meeting, the leaders that I work with are working on being more curious, asking more questions, remembering to challenge things that are stated like a fact when they may just be an opinion. And I think that can be innovative. That yeah. can lead to a lot of innovation. So I think it's looking for those smaller opportunities. Sometimes that can lead to the biggest changes. And I have nothing against things like Flex Friday. To where those things are cool. That's yeah. cool. We need some of that. But I think what I'm trying to help organizations and teams and leaders understand is there are these smaller opportunities and that sometimes those can actually add up to bigger culture changes.
Yeah. So just simple things like, you know, asking your team members, what do you think of this, or what's mm-hmm. what's something different? Asking them to raise their hands, essentially.
Yeah, and okay. I think figuring out what your team needs from you. If you're a leader, I think that's a big part of your job right now is what does your team need from you in order to be able to speak up, in order to be able to brainstorm like that?
Yeah.
Do they need a little bit of psychological safety? Like, are people in your organization afraid to bring up those kinds of ideas? Are they afraid to take risks? I think you can think about the industry setting for that. I mean, if you're you know, in some kind of, you know, warehouse safety management, you know, I don't know if you want people thinking of innovative ways to use a forklift, right? I mean, there are some areas where right. when you ask people to think outside the box, there might be some hesitancy to do so because out of the box is not necessarily what we want to do with safety guidelines. And so I think as a leader, it's your job to think about, you know, how can I make people feel safe about suggesting new ideas, about brainstorming? I think you also have to think about the personalities on your team. I mean, what if you're working with a team that isn't very, let me use the right word, talkative? Mm. And you say, what does everyone think? And you get that, you know, crickets. As a leader, it's figuring out, okay, how can I change that question? Maybe you say something like, all right, I'd love to hear one thing from everybody. What's your biggest takeaway from this meeting? What thing are you going to be thinking about after we leave today?
Right.
That small reframe, you're giving people a specific ask, what's one thing? And you're not even asking them to like come up with a big dream idea. You're just saying, what's something that you've heard that you're taking away from today? That way you can get a better temperature on your team.
Yeah.
Doing things like that helps your team know that you want to hear from them. And then as you keep practicing that, you're going to be able to ask even more in-depth questions.
Yeah, that's a really great point. What about you individually? So, you know, you're running a marketing company, you're doing all the speaking, you're doing workshops. I'll ask you to share some big news here in a second about what's new for you. But you're not a part of a huge team, right? Like, how do you think creatively? How do you have innovative culture with yourself, essentially?
That's such a great question. I think one thing that's really important to me is to label things as a practice. I can be a bit of a perfectionist. If I had a Patronus, if you will, from Harry Potter, I think it would be Hermione. I am like the sit in the front, know the answer. I think for me, I wish that I could just kind of do everything perfectly and hit that standard. That's impossible.
Yeah.
Right. And that sets us up for failure. So for me, labeling things as a practice is a huge, huge part of how I go about taking on new challenges. And I think it makes it possible to take on new things. Because if I approach something and I say, oh, I'm going to take on this opportunity, I'm going to be really great at it, that this is my goal. Yeah, that's setting up for a lot of expectations, maybe too much pressure. If I just label it as a practice, this is something I want to try, I'm going to practice, it gives me room to get better, which gives me room to not be good at it at first. That's a big part of what I do. And even though I've had my company for over 10 years, I still have to approach projects that way. Mm-hmm. And it also reminds me that things just, they're not black and white. You have something, if it stops working, that doesn't mean, okay, time to give up. It means, how can we think about this differently? And that practice label helps me a lot with that.
Yeah. I like to think my Patronus would be a Harry, like all disheveled, but still getting the job done eventually with the support of Hermione and Ron and all these people. I don't know. That's thinking very highly of myself and calling myself Harry.
I don't know. I think Harry needed a lot of help from his friends. Even Harry would admit that. So.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter and I just finished the 7 books.
Oh, yeah. So fun.
It was so fun. Have you read them all?
Absolutely. Okay. A few times.
So spoiler for anybody that hasn't read them all, you know, Dumbledore is dying in the 6th book and everything. And oh my gosh, I'm like weeping. I'm a grown man weeping, trying to get through this book. Oh my gosh. It was pretty wild.
That's anyway. So sweet that you all could share that together.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. She loved it. I loved it too. But, you know, we're thinking creatively here and, you know, for your clients, but then for you as a business also, like, do you ever just carve out time to be like, okay, well, what's my next presentation here? Or does that all kind of happen organically?
That's a great question. I don't know if I've thought about that in a while. How does that happen? You know, I don't necessarily carve time. You read about people when you read, you know, productivity books or things like that about people who, carve thinking time. I don't necessarily do that. That would be really, I would feel great about being able to do that. But instead I have more like, I just dropped the kids off and I'm rushing to my next thing. And I make a conscious decision to like not turn music on or not turn a podcast on. No offense to podcasting. Obviously I listen to them all the time, but sometimes I just try to make room for that silence. And that has been really helpful to me. And that actually came out of some research I'd been doing about how we don't have a lot of silence. We don't have a lot of boredom in our lives right now and what that's doing to our ability to just kind of think crazy thoughts. Mm. I think anybody who can relate, it's like when you take a shower and you literally can't be doing other things, like you can't necessarily have a podcast in your ear, right? Like you're forced to just be with your own thoughts. That's when you sometimes think of like the craziest ideas, right? Yeah. So I needed to create space for that elsewhere in my life. I've had a lot more like silent drives, quiet walks, things like that really help. And again, it's not about these giant like 2-hour chunks of time. Even if you can take like 10 minutes to do something like that, it's really impressive what you can get out of something small like that.
That's so interesting because when I think about my drive or walking the dog or being in the shower, like I am trying to cram all the sounds into my ears.
Yeah.
And so I'll try to listen to an audiobook because, you know, my goal this year is 24 books in a year. I just haven't really been doing books in my adult life very much, or since kids, I should say. And so, like, you know, now I want to do 24 books, and I'm into it.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I have so many questions, but we can keep going.
But then, like, walking the dog, I'm like listening to a podcast or listening to an audiobook. Even in the shower, like, I'll try to put my phone up on top of the shower and hear the best I can.
Turn the volume up as high as you can.
Yep. Yeah. And you're right. Like, why not just let myself be in silence? Maybe I'm afraid of my thoughts. I don't really know. Maybe,
well, you know what? I think, and, you know, you and I have talked about this as we've just met each other at Rally Founded. Sometimes especially with young kids, it just feels good to get things done because there's so much to do and it's so hard to balance having a family and work that you care about. And so when you have these moments of silence, it almost feels like a waste. Yeah. Like, I could be doing something right now. And I definitely feel like that. And let me be clear, there's nothing wrong with listening to music in the shower. Taylor Swift is my personal favorite, as many know. And there's, nothing wrong with that. I also love blasting music in the car with the windows down. So this isn't an always thing. But I do think it's really important to find some of those opportunities in your life. And it is hard at first. And maybe that practice label comes back. Like, when you first try it and you're like, wow, my thoughts will not slow down. All I want to do is check my phone right now.
Yep.
It's like, this is a practice. I have to get used to a few minutes of silence.
Yeah. My wife really loves meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, that's something I haven't really tried.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's something where if you can be alone with yourself for a little bit, that offers the creativity that you need for later in the day or later in the week or whatever it is.
I think so. We'd have to talk to your wife about it because I am the worst meditator ever.
Are you?
It's really hard for me. I joke that running is my meditation because it's almost like I have to be doing something with all my energy.
Yep.
But running without music or without a podcast is really hard for me sometimes.
Can you do it?
Not long.
I can't either.
But like we were saying, it's a practice. And I can if we have a lot going on or if I'm writing a presentation in my head. I was writing one the other day. I was running along Crabtree running is a strong word. I was walking along Crabtree Grill, walking, jogging, and I just got hit with the exact thing that I needed for this one part of a presentation. I was doing a presentation on psychological safety, but it's for this group of women entrepreneurs, and the talk I had was just too technical. I had a lot of data. I needed a story, and I couldn't think of one that packed enough punch. And for some reason, as I was running, jogging, with no music, I remembered this time that my grandmother, this is so random, but my grandmother took me to see kind of a long-lost relative who she had kind of lost connection with some family. And we had met her and talked to her. And I was younger. I was asking my grandmother, you know, why didn't she stay in touch with her grandkids? And my grandma was saying, well, you know, things happen and her kids got divorced and da-da-da. But then we got in the car and my grandma turned to me and she said, you know, I never would have let that happen with you. Huh. And she like put her hand on my arm. And that sounds like such a small moment. But I remember as a kid being flooded with this like comfort of, I genuinely believe that. I genuinely believe that there's nothing in the world that would keep my crazy energetic grandmother from staying in my life.
Oh.
And it was really powerful. And so that was the missing puzzle piece in this talk. I said that. And when I gave the, I mean, you could see the audience when I shared that story. And I have this picture of my adorable grandmother on the screen, just kind of, you know, smile and do that sigh with me. Like they were thinking of their own times and their own lives where they had a moment where they felt that safety. And the rest of the content that I was able to share was really easy to, that came from a quiet walk.
Yeah.
And if I had been jamming out to Taylor Swift, as amazing as her music is, I don't think I would have thought about that time with my grandma and how safe I had felt in that moment.
Right. Yeah, it's such a great point. And as we think about with podcasting, you know, we're always trying to come up with these different ideas for podcasts. And, you know, sometimes we get in a rut, just like with any business, just like with any workflow. Mm. It is, okay, I need to contact these people to be on my podcast. I think this would be this person would be a great fit for this particular episode because of X, Y, and Z. Well, what about bigger picture here? You know, what about bringing somebody else into the conversation? You know, what about partnering with somebody on this episode? You know, what about coming up with a topic that they're not comfortable with?
Mm.
Like, you know, all these different things where we're very busy and doing these things, but how do we think creatively about what should be the next level for podcasts, for keynote speeches, for all these different things.
Yeah, I love what you just said, because I think you brought up a perfect example of what we're talking about here for finding these smaller moments for innovation. You mentioned just your process where you might write down a list of guests that you need to bring on the podcast and you start to pair them with themes. And it's like, okay, what if we disrupted that a little bit? Mm-hmm. Like, what if instead we thought of themes first? What if instead we thought of all the things we don't want to talk about on a podcast and then asked why? You know, what if we looked at topics that we wish we could learn about? You know, for me, I am, again, just such a nerd. And I think I also have a healthy amount of imposter syndrome, like a lot of people.
For sure.
And when I go and speak, I feel like I have to deliver some expertise. I'm not going to go and give a talk on something I don't know about, right? Or am I, right? Mm. Like, is there an opportunity to be like, this is a thing I want to learn a lot about. Here's the research I've done so far. Here are the holes. Here's who I talk to learn more. Am I really confident enough to stand up there and say, I don't know a lot about this topic, but I talked to these really amazing people and here's what I've learned so far. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It would make for a really interesting discussion, though, especially if the people in the audience were more of an expert on that topic than I was.
Yeah. Oh,
as a speaker, I mean, that's scary. That's a nightmare Q&A, maybe. Yeah. Or is it really engaging? I don't know. So
yeah.
Just that little disruption of, all right, let me look at where my process is really standardized, really consistent. How can I disrupt that and try something new?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's funny. I mentioned my wife. So Megan, she gave a talk on imposter syndrome in Vegas in November.
Oh, wow.
And like she does, she was just all in her head about it and just like, I am such a fraud on giving this talk. And I'm like,
how meta.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But like, she was the absolute perfect person to give this talk on imposter syndrome. And oh my gosh, like it was probably like 300 people in this audience and there were tears and like all the people were lining up to give her a hug afterwards.
Come on.
It was like TED level talk.
Go Megan. That makes me so happy.
Yeah. Yeah. She's incredible with this stuff. But yeah, the imposter syndrome is always very, very real.
And you know, I used to try to fight it and I thought I'll get to a certain level and I'll be good enough to where it won't happen to me anymore.
Yeah.
And so when I would feel it, I would just think, you know, damn it, I'm not there yet. And that's not it. I still feel it. And like even right now being, you know, you have this beautiful podcast studio. I'm so excited to be here. These mics are really cool. My kids would be geeking out if they could be in here right now. But I'm still a little nervous, right? And if I had felt that a few years ago, I would have taken that as a sign of like, okay, if I'm nervous doing this, I've done a lot of podcasts before. If I'm still nervous, maybe this isn't meant for me. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I just can't compete at this level. And what I've learned to say is like, how cool.
Yeah.
I still care enough about this stuff to be a little nervous.
Yeah.
And I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
It's about reframing it, I guess.
I mean, I still get nervous with right? every interview. And this is what I do.
Right. You're the pro. You're the literal expert. So, and if I think about it with the story you shared about Megan's talk, I mean, she cared so much about it to have that concern for it. Of course, it turned out awesome for her to care about it that much. And so I try to really reframe it as, okay, I'm feeling this because I care so much, because this is what I want to be doing. This clearly I'm so passionate about it that I'm a little shaky even. Mm. I mean, we buy $7 cups of coffee to feel that way. How cool is it that we can feel it with, you know, just doing something we love?
That's great. Yeah, and save money on your coffees. Go on a podcast.
I feel like if my husband's listening to this, he's in finance. Babe, I don't buy $7 coffees. That was anecdotal.
No. You even shared that you had a coffee made for you this morning.
I did.
At Raleigh Founded.
No, it was by, the Riot team works out of Raleigh Founded. So Caroline Griffin made that oat milk latte for me. So it was not $7.
Yeah.
Unless I owe her a coffee for it.
No. So to think about innovation, like who do we need to network with? Like, do you have a group of people that are on your team, like your personal board of advisors type of thing? Okay.
Yeah. I have an informal board of advisors. I think I have people who are on my board of advisors who maybe don't even know it because they are just the people I go to. There are so many smart, incredible people here in the RTP. I love connecting with them. I'm always reaching out to people to try to get different groups together for like a lunch or a coffee. I'm really happy with that small group format. I can get overwhelmed at big events sometimes. Unless I have a job. If you give me like a clipboard, tell me to do something, I'm fine. Otherwise, a big event to me can be a little scary. So I like these small format events. And yeah, I'm always getting people to come out and talk about different things with me. I would encourage other people to do the same. I think we were talking about imposter syndrome a minute ago. It can be hard to ask people for their time. And I would just say, please ask. Yeah. The worst they can say is no. And a lot of times if they say no, they'll say, I can't right now, but here's who you can talk to. Mm-hmm. One of the best ways I've built my network. So yes to a personal board of directors. If you don't have one, think really creatively about what that could look like, what, you know, who you might need on that and what you can offer. When I was starting my company, there were folks that I knew that I could benefit, you know, learning from them. And so I would reach out and I'd say, you know, are there any nonprofits that you're working on right now? Because I do some web and graphic stuff. I can help with that. If you can trade me, there's a lot of ways to support and make sure that you're giving back to the folks who are giving you their time. I would also say there are two things that are really important, I think especially for women, but probably for everyone, is making sure that you have two kinds of people in your network. One would be people who can really, really understand what you're going through.
Yeah.
I just wrote an article for this group called 10X Thrive called People Who Know Your Tuesdays. And I shared this story of like one of those crazy Tuesday nights where like my husband was working late. I had a Zoom call. My toddler was watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and then somebody had a cookie or something and he just starts screaming, cookie, cookie. And then my 8-year-old's like trying to find him a cookie in the pantry, but he can't see it. And it was just a mess. And the article was about like, find people who know your Tuesdays, who know in a quick explanation, like what that feels like to try to balance everything and to do it wrong and for it not to go well, but then to have to wake up and try again the next day. Find people who know what that looks like. But then also find people who have a completely different perspective, right? Like you should have both. It's really important. And finding people who know what it's like. I mean, I can't tell you what I've learned from some of the folks who are in different industries that you would think wouldn't have any impact on what you do if somebody's work is so different from yours. But it does. There are these weird intersections. It helps you think outside the box. So that's my challenge to, especially when I work with students and entry-level folks, is make sure you're building a network that has both.
Right. That's awesome. And I think relating that to podcasting is one of those things where you need to have those people that you know listen to your podcast and ask them, like, what more should I do? Like, what do you want to hear from this podcast? And, you know, I've been thinking about it. What ways can we make this next level? You know, what are those creative music ideas? What are those creative clips, you know, of interviews that we've done in the past that we can incorporate? What about, you know, what about adding reviews? Like ask those people and even ask those mentors that you have maybe from podcast meetups to listen to your show and give you what can be done. So
I'm so impressed by what you've been building in the region because it's so much more than this awesome studio that we're in, but you're also building a community. I mean, you're trying to bring people together who are creating content. And I saw when you put that out that you weren't just inviting people who created podcasts. Like, what about people who are creating videos or even social media content? I mean, I learn a lot from watching, you know, the younger, just out of college, famous on TikTok folks about what it means to create content. I think being open to that is really important. So learning about ideas for a podcast from somebody who can make a viral TikTok, like, absolutely.
Yeah. If anybody's listening to this and has an interest in coming to our Triangle Content Creators meetups, the next one will be the first week in April. So first Wednesday, I should say, in April at American Underground. But Sarah, I met somebody who had just quit her job. She is a YouTube influencer now.
Wow.
So like she's got 40,000 subscribers on YouTube. And you know what she's done? She has created content that's all around budgeting for your meals.
Oh
so,
my gosh.
Like how to feed yourself and your family on a budget. And that's all it is. And like all her videos are like, here's what I can get at the Dollar Tree and here's how to make this stuff. And, you know, gourmet type meals, not gourmet type meals, but like good meals on a budget. Like what
so
brilliant.
Cool.
Right.
Right. And that's something that I feel like so many people, when you're on your phone, taking a little social media break at lunch and you scroll through, like that's absolutely the kind of heartwarming, applicable content that we're all looking for. I love that.
Yeah.
And I think for companies to open up their minds to learning from folks who are doing things like that people who are maybe skipping traditional routes of publishing, and I would even say career building, and then going straight to a target audience. There's so much to learn from folks like that. So just staying open. And I think a lot of big brands are doing that.
Yeah, definitely. So Sarah, tell me about Reify. What do you have going on with that? And then, you know, all your speaking, consulting.
Yeah, it's been an exciting few years. So I started Reify Media over 10 years ago when I was in graduate school. I was frankly just trying to pay the bills. It was one of those situations where I was a TA, and you're not supposed to have another job when you're a TA, but they also pay you like $9,000 a year. So I don't know how that's supposed to work out. But I started consulting on the side, and I turned it into an LLC. And yeah, it's been 10 years, and we turned into a company that really focused on e-learning and online training, which is my PhD is in instructional technology. I love thinking about how we can help, especially adult learners, use technology to learn. And there's a lot of CE out there. People have to keep their certifications up and get CE credits and things like that. So there's a lot of opportunity. That's mostly what we do now is we create CE type content. We work with companies, associations, nonprofits to create that kind of learning material. Sometimes we get a chance to do things that are more for the public eye. Like we might work with healthcare groups on some public health initiatives, always with a learning angle. It's so fun. Every day is different. After 10 years, I'm still in love with it. And I'm really lucky because I almost called it like Oak City Media or Oak City Web Design was one of my ideas when I first started. Because I started out doing a lot of kind of small web design projects. And now, I mean, we don't even make websites anymore hardly. Over 10 years, it's really changed. So that generic name, Reify Media, Reify just means to take the abstract and make it real.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Like, how do you not box yourself into something?
Exactly.
How do you tell people what you do and yet not box yourself into your
exactly.
growth when you're coming up with a company name?
I'm kind of like the marketing person's worst nightmare, though. Like, you learn, if you do like business 101, they're like, go niche or go home, have an easy to pronounce name, like make it really clear what you do. And I've never done that. And so if anyone out there is looking for somebody to help them start a really specific company, please find someone else. I'm terrible at that. But I knew that I loved creating things, and I knew that I could help people get content online. And I just decided that I would start with that and then figure out kind of what the market needed. So I've been doing that for over 10 years. It's definitely a service-based business. We don't have anything off the shelf. It's all custom projects. And so it's been a lot of fun building that. And then personally, you know, the pandemic was an interesting time for everyone. The way that I dealt with it was by diving into some new projects. I started a digital publication called 8 and 21 that is just curated content. It comes out twice a month, and it's meant to be read in 3 minutes or less.
Okay.
So we've got that going. That's been going for over a year now, which is really exciting. And then I started my website that focuses on me as a speaker, so the Sarah Glova PhD brand, and you can see that at sarahglova.com. And that has a lot of my talks, a lot of information about where I've spoken before and what I'm talking about. So those were my two pandemic projects. My other one was having our second son. So we do have a pandemic baby as well, although he's more a pandemic toddler now, which is even scarier. So that's how I kind of kept busy and kept sane, was by diving into work that I love. And I genuinely believe that I'm able to do these kinds of things because I live in Raleigh.
Yeah.
It just really feels like the place where people can dream big like this and create this kind of stuff, where I can meet you at Raleigh Founded. And it was never like yes, please sign this NDA and we can talk mutually about our work, right? Like, it's such an open community. And now a few weeks later, here I am in your podcast studio and we're talking about innovation. It's a really beautiful community to get to live in.
Yeah. And I've got a million ideas on how we can work together, you know, just from this conversation, right? But don't you offer workshops as well?
I do. Yep. Okay. So it really depends on the organization and what they need. Some groups need a keynote speaker to come in and bring some excitement, talk about big topics, give the organization what it needs to, you know, go through another year, continue on into a theme with some really applicable lessons learned. Other groups, they need workshops. They need something more hands-on. And so whether that's about topics like innovation and creating a blueprint for that, helping leadership to understand how to cultivate that, whether it's DEI, we talk a lot about supporting different groups of people in the workplace. DEI is so big right now, especially in hiring. Yep. But I think we all know it's great to hire. What about retention?
Right.
And so I work with a lot of groups on creating safe, inclusive workspaces. Mm-hmm. And then communication. I love communication. talking about writing, presentation skills, things like that. I get brought in by organizations who they want to support their teams in building those skills. So they bring me in and I work with those groups on that.
That's awesome. Well, Sarah, I really appreciate you coming on to talk about innovation. Oh, actually, before we go, you've got some big news about, you know, who you're, what you're contributing to now. And
I do. So I was just named the newest contributor to WRAL TechWire.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is so cool.
It was a lot of fun. And my first article was about International Women's Day and an event that RTP put on, you know, during Women's History Month. It was just, it was a really cool intersection. I've been a longtime fan of them and the work that they do. Huge shout out to people like Chantal Alam, who sets the bar so high for this region.
For sure.
Yeah, really excited to now be able to share stories about what I see going on in this region, especially working with the founders in the area who are creating big things. So if you have any ideas for stories, feel free to get in touch.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure I will. But yeah, I mean, you're joining just contributors like Donald Thompson and Jess Averhart and Chantal, who you mentioned. I mean, it is such a great publication. Congratulations to Rick for, you know, making it happen over the last 15 years. I don't know how long it's been. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, a couple quick questions before we go.
Okay.
All right.
Is this like lightning round?
Kind of, yeah.
I'm a little competitive. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Lightning round. Ready?
You've been on a lot of podcasts recently.
Yes.
Besides this one, what's been your favorite podcast that you've been on?
I loved all of them, but I will say the Institute for Emerging Issues has a special place in my heart, and they have a First in Flight type podcast. They have a First in Future podcast, and I'm such a big fan. It highlights rock stars from all across North Carolina. I got on it because I won a Twitter competition, and I've never been more excited in my life. I just tweeted like crazy because I really wanted to be on their podcast at that event. That was a few years ago now, even. But I think that was a really unique experience. I got to record that at the Institute, which, of course, is over on Centennial Campus. They just do such big things over there. So
that is so cool.
It was very cool.
We'll have to go check that one out.
Yeah.
All right. You mentioned that you're a big Taylor Swift fan.
Huge.
Favorite Taylor Swift song?
Very controversial, but probably Holy Ground from Red, although I will say I liked the original better than Taylor's version, which is like blasphemy. So Swifties, please come at me. I know that that's a problem. I will say maybe the song that I jam out to, honestly, probably King of My Heart on Reputation album, which has not been re-recorded for Taylor's version, so that's also controversial. But her 10-minute version of All Too Well is absolute perfection. Like, gotcha. I could measure my day in, like, how many All Too Wells it takes to get something done.
Yeah.
I mean, my kids know all the words to this one. Well, we have to turn the volume down for the quick F word. Then they know the rest of the ones.
Okay. It's so interesting, like when you turn the volume down, when you just kind of ignore it, hope they don't really hear it. When you get to that point where you're like, they'll hear stuff.
They're going to hear it anyway. Yeah. I know. Our 1.5-year-old is a mockingbird at this point. Like, he just wants to straight repeat everything he hears. So we're having to be extra careful right now. Although I just know something is going to happen. Like, he's going to pick something up and it'll be funny. We'll see. We'll see what it turns out to be.
That is so funny. We're watching as a family Survivor now.
Oh, nice.
Like
a
lot of old Survivor episodes. Yeah. And boy, do they like to say ass all the time. Like, it's because like CBS can only get away with so much. And like, that's their most sensational word, I guess,
really?
that they can use.
That's like as far as they can push the envelope.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It just keeps going.
Yes. And so it is like 20 asses every episode.
We do a lot of Food Network in our house, and usually it's pretty good, but sometimes on the competition, you know how they're cooking, they're like, damn it, and you're like, oh, and you kind of like do the side look at your kid, like, did they know this? Do they think that's a food ingredient? I don't know.
That's awesome. All right, last question. What is your favorite podcast that you like to listen to?
Well, you know what? I'll go local. So obviously I really like Riot Underground. I say obviously because I was with them when they started that podcast. So that one has a special place in my heart. There's a really cool one by two amazing local women called Girls Who Do Stuff. And that one's a lot of fun. I love their stories.
Shout out to Joe Woolworth for producing that show.
And then the First Gen Lounge by Dr. Eve Hudson. She shares stories of amazing folks who are first generation college students. And it's a huge, huge, inspiring, like uplifting community that she's creating through that podcast. So shout out to her and what she's doing. So those are three amazing local ones.
That's awesome. Well, Dr. Sarah Glova, thank you so much for coming on the Earfluence podcast. How can our listeners connect with you?
Please, please come find me. I'd love to talk to you. So I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Sarah Glova, PhD. And then I'm most active on LinkedIn, so you can find me there. Last name, Glova. So kind of unique.
G-L-O-V-A.
There you go.
All right. Well, Sarah, thank you again. Everybody listening, thank you for listening to this. If you're interested in full-service podcast production, check out earfluence.com or email us. We're info@earfluence.com. Follow us on social media as well, where we're at Earfluence Media. I'm Jason Gilligan, and we'll see you next time on the Earfluence podcast.